Want to get your business in front of real sports fans? The Fade Route with DNZ reaches over 1,000 listeners every month. We drop fresh episodes every week and stay active on social media so your brand doesn't just get heard, it stays top of mind. Local, loyal, passionate. That's our audience. Are you ready to be part of the in crowd? Let's talk about how we increase your foot traffic and get people to visit your website. Email us today at faderoutemail@gmail.com or message us on our socials at faderoutepodcast on IG or slide in our DMs on X at faderoutednz so we can find the best package for you. Coming at you from the AO Studios, it's the Fade Route with DNZ. Here are your hosts, D and Z.
Powered by Riverside FM.
Coming at you live from the AO Studio.
AO.
It's the Fade Route with D and Z. I am D, and we've got a great show for you tonight.
Yep, do.
Shane Gillis crushed the ESPYs. We had a swing off at the All-Star game, and Mitch Berukowicz joins us on the in route. But we'll begin today's show, boldly begin today's show, with the WNBA All-Star game. Yeah, that was played over the weekend. I can't tell you who won or who won the MVP, but I can tell you what the players decided to wear during warmups. All of the participants wore, "Hey us, what you owe us." This is coming on the eve of a new CBA that needs to be signed for a league that is expanding and has not been profitable since its inception 30 years ago. The players want to be paid. The fans apparently want the players to be paid. And apparently ESPN wants them to be paid. So, Z, where do we go from here?
They're going to get paid.
They're going to get paid.
They're going to get paid, plain and simple. Just so everybody knows, Team Collier beat Team Clark 151-131. So no defense is being played there, just like in the NBA All-Star game.
Did Clark play?
I do not believe so.
I don't think she competed in the three-point contest either.
Yeah, but, you know, like that's, you know, she is the biggest draw, biggest star, so to speak. And, yeah, does not look like she did. But, you know, that's the thing. It's a $200 million per year media deal over 11 years. So they're getting an influx of cash. They are getting this money, dude. Now, to Jemele Hill's point, and she is right, when the NBA was on tape delay, all the way back when, players got raises. Did they necessarily deserve raises for not really delivering great product? No, but that's not the point. The cost went up, and so too did the wages. So this is a hell of a gamble, a media rights gamble on the WNBA. Now, it is growing in popularity. It is growing, maybe not at the rate that some people would like, right? You have 20 something years of being a loss leader for the NBA, and now you have another resurgence with the Caitlin Clark, Angel Reese infusion of talent and rivalry, whatever you want to call it. And there's a level of interest there. There's a level of interest that we have not seen before. And this will give them profit. This will give them profit for the first time. So, expansion is coming. I know we have Cleveland, we have Philly, we have Portland, we have Toronto. They're growing. The league is growing. And this is the issue with media rights. You look at something like AEW Dynamite. They are getting obscene amounts of money. 500, 600 million, like obscene amounts of money for producing a weekly wrestling show. A weekly wrestling show that's been averaging 700,000 people, 700,000 viewers. way below the million that it was doing in its first or second year of existence. So, and they're getting buku bucks. So the WNBA is getting this influx of eyeballs. And we're going to have to see where this goes. Because now they're going to get the cash rocket strapped to their back. And we'll see what they do with it and how it happens. But fans want it. The players want it. ESPN wants it. It's a TV show at the end of the day. And ESPN will pay for content, as we've seen. But they bent over backwards and they paid Pat McAfee an obscene amount of money at the expense of some of its other staff. But Pat McAfee got paid. Stephen A. Smith got paid. WNBA, content is king. They're going to get paid. And they can finally figure that part out. Now, the owners need to kind of go with it. You need to find a percentage that you can stomach, right? You need to find a percentage that makes the players happy and something you can live with, because you are getting an influx of $200 million to the league distributed among the teams. So you're getting this influx of cash. So it's time to kind of float the boats, because your tide is rising.
Yeah, I don't know, Z. I look at it a little differently. I think I understand you're saying there's going to be an influx of cash. That's great. But how sustainable is that influx of cash? And how is it going to be spent? And I don't know if you just start increasing your pay to these players before knowing what your bottom dollar is, you could get in an ugly situation. I mean, they're already getting subsidized. And the other issue that I'm surprised that, you know, more people aren't talking about, but some of these players are saying that they might not play if they don't get the deal that they want or the money they want. How much of a disaster would that be if they all of a sudden say, you know, no, we're not going to play?
What? It's a bad PR look.
That's a bad PR look. You're not going to play. What? What do you mean you're not going to play? And again, this all goes back to what we talked about the previous week's expansion. You're just asking for it, right? It's like if you're, and I, you know, I did a 180 on this from when I first saw this happen, because now I look at it, if I'm a player, right? I'm looking at, wait a minute, you guys are expanding. You sign this deal, I'm not making enough. Like, if you're going to do all these things, we're not doing bad. We're not struggling. No. We're doing great. And I want my piece of the pie. So they've got themselves. And that's the other part is like, at what point does the NBA go, okay, hold on a second. All right, guys, hold on. Hold on a second, right? You know, you lost X amount last year. You lost X amount for 30 years. All right, we're capping it right here, okay? I mean, and then the other idea is could the WNBA possibly be sold off? Is it a big enough league where someone could say, you know what? This has value.
Right.
This is value. I don't need to subsidize. I can run this at a profit. Will that happen? Like, I just...
It is possible.
You know, because that's something I would think Adam Silver's got to start thinking. He's like, well, wait a minute. You know, we're increasing the teams and they want more money. And maybe they could just go do this on their own. And I don't have to, you know, and the reliance on the NBA is like, you know, because then from an NBA standpoint, right, this was your marketing tool. It's like, we have a professional women's league. Like, they're promoting the NBA when they play. Believe it or not, it goes hand in hand. So I get where they're coming from. I do get where they're coming from, but this is what the problem you created by saying we're going to expand, by highlighting Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese and Ionescu and all these players. Now it's like, okay, yeah, well, pay up
100%.
And then it's like, and then Adam Silver is like, hey, hey, what? what are you talking about? You know? And then, like you said, it's all these owners, because there are people that cannot afford an NBA franchise, that cannot afford an NFL franchise, and would welcome having a WNBA franchise. And you're also banking on more players coming out, right? We're banking on another Caitlin Clark. We're banking on another Angel Reese. We're banking on more players of that caliber. And you're going to have it because you're expanding. Like, every team is going to need a superstar. You can't have games end in the 40s and the 20s. You've got to keep this train rolling. Like you said, it's a big gamble. It's a huge gamble, because 10 years ago, I don't know if this would have worked. Now it's like, well, you're going for it, so I hope you have a plan of some kind. You know, you talk about the Knicks freezing an envelope. You've got to make sure that talent is spread out wide, right? Mm-hmm. Every team is going to need a top tier player. Perfect example, Caitlin Clark was supposed to play the New York Liberty at the Barclays Center. She got hurt. I mean, I don't know, but I would assume that the tickets went down for that game now, because I was interested in seeing Caitlin Clark. I'm not going to go see the Fever play the Liberty just on a Thursday night. It's just, you know, it's just me.
Well, at the end of the day, it's a star-driven league, just like the NBA, right? You're going out there. You're not going out there to see the Knicks. You're going to see Jalen Brunson. You're not going to see the Lakers. You're going to see Luka. Like, you have people who follow the laundry.
Sure, it's star-driven.
They need more.
They have a lot of stars, and they have a lot of stars coming.
Yeah.
I don't know if I can say the same thing about the WNBA, and I'm not saying it's not there. It could be. I don't know. And I just think that when you come out on All-Star Weekend, when all eyes are on your product, and you wear shirts that say, pay us what you owe us, that rubs some people the wrong way. And at the end of the day, I appreciate their fans saying, pay them. But guess who's going to be paying them? It's going to be your ticket prices. It's going to be your concession. That's what's paying them. That's what's going to go up. I mean, I don't know if anybody got the gist of that. But we'll see.
I don't know. And that's the thing. Like, we're going to see that. But the influx of cash, that media deal, it will cover a little bit. It will cover a little bit. But the average WNBA player makes $70,000 a year.
Right, Z, but do you know off the top of your head how long the deal's for?
11 years.
11 years. Okay, that's great. But if the product doesn't grow,
right,
then in year 11, when you don't have a TV deal, or I don't know what the market's going to call for at that point. Like, I don't know. Like, you're banking on there being a consistent group of ladies that are going to play at a high level. And I don't know if it's out there, and you're trying to grow teams. You're increasing the teams. I just don't know. And I'm not saying it's not going to happen. I just don't know. And at some point, at what point does the NBA go, okay, I'm not subsidizing this much anymore, right? That's the only thing I'm saying. But...
That's the one thing. It's like, the one thing that could happen here is this could be a preventative measure. As much as it is like floating all boats, it may also keep domestic players in the domestic league. Like, that's the thing that's been happening. Like, Tarazi had to go to Europe to supplement her income. Brittany Griner had to go to friggin' Russia to supplement her income. Now these guys, like Juju Watkins, like, she's supposed to be the next big thing. Juju Watkins coming out of USC next year, like,
we don't know what she's going to be.
She's
coming off of a torn ACL. We don't know what she's going to be. And at the moment, she's the only woman player I think can talk about in the W that's in college. You know, the Beckers is up, Reese is up, and then Clark is up. Like, those were the top women players.
I think it's the Cavender twins. I think it's the Cavender twins and
But,
the Cavender twins, who were just recently tried out to be WWE wrestlers, and that didn't work out, so they're back in college. So you have them, and then you have Juju. So there's a crop of talent, and there's always a crop of talent, like you said, with the NBA, right? There's always a crop of guys coming. There's always the next big star. The question is, like, you know, how long are you going to wait for it, and what's the rest of the league going to look like?
And you said, Jamil? She's right. She's 100% right. They were on tape delay. The thing that changed the NBA, and it's probably what the WNBA is trying to do, is Larry Bird and Magic Johnson. That is what changed the NBA. So now it was must-see TV, Showtime Lakers. I'm going to watch this game. It's on TV. I want to watch it now. I don't know if that works in this era. I think it worked back in the 80s or the late 70s and whenever it happened. I don't know if that will work in this era, what they're trying to do with Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese. But it's happening. We can't stop it. And we're going to see how they play out. But if they decide not to play, that'll be the nail in the coffin for that league.
Well, it just furthers my theory that the only sport that will be left with positive labor relations is the NHL. Like everything else will be
agreed to play more games in 2 years.
There you
wildly,
go.
Wildly.
Ridiculous.
But Shane Gillis hosted the ESPYs on Saturday night. ESPN has a history of getting big stars or popular comedians to host the show every year. Some people thought his monologue was hilarious, while others felt he went too far. Which camp were you in?
That's the problem with comedy, right? Comedy in general, it's for certain people, right? Not everything is for everybody. That's why there's so many different stand-up comedians out there. Shane Gillis is very self-deprecating in his humor. Like, he'll say something ridiculous. He'll say something potentially racist or sexist or homophobic. And then he'll walk it back with, oh, I didn't write the joke. Like, that's not my fault.
Shut up, man.
I didn't do it.
That's funny.
Yeah. It's like, come on now. Like, it gets to be shticky at this point. It's just like, oh, shucks. Like, you know, like, nah, it's not me, man. I didn't do it. Wasn't me. But he had a couple that hit with me that I thought were funny. But certain people, like, I'm sure, like, the Deshaun Watson joke, somebody didn't find that funny. The Deshaun Watson joke was funny. Why? Because, like, that hit me in a certain point in time where, like, I'm not a big fan of Deshaun Watson. So that's hilarious. It's very much like Norm MacDonald. The Norm MacDonald OJ joke was, come on. Like, he's trying to, this is what ESPN wants from their ESPY host. It's going to rub people the wrong way. It's going to piss them off. But here's the thing. You're talking about it. That's what ESPN wants. They want you to talk about the show. The Karl Anthony Towns, hey girl thing, like, that was dumb. Like, okay. The WNBA joke was clever. It was clever.
Especially after everything that happened.
Right. So but I can understand why people would be pissed about that. But it was clever. Like, I'll give him.
Why are you clapping, man?
She's like, that's my friend's wife.
You guys clap for that. It's messed up.
Jesus, but you know, like, certain jokes hit, certain jokes missed. Like, it was designed for that purpose. It was designed to be provocative. It was designed to be salacious. It was designed to get you talking about it. So that is the camp I'm in, is that mission accomplished, Shane Gillis.
Yeah, I thought it was hilarious. I did not watch it in live time. I watched the recording of it, and I thought it was really funny. You know, it's supposed to be taken lightly. You know, I think even with the Oscars, ever since that thing happened with Chris Rock, people are afraid to tell jokes. It's supposed to be levity. You got to be able to laugh at yourself. You got to be able to laugh at the situation. Simone Biles was funny, and to the Caitlin Clark fighting women in the Waffle House was pretty funny.
Oof.
But, you know, it's just, it's a joke, and it's meant to be lighthearted. It's supposed to be like, you know, that's, you know, when you're watching these shows, you're right, you're watching, let's say, the Oscars, right? It's all these millionaires, and they're all popular people and they're movie stars and they make so much money and they have it so great. The whole part of you watching it is being able to watch them get made fun of and take a joke. You know, they're just like us. That's what you're supposed, that's what it's supposed to feel like. It's supposed to be levity. And the same thing goes with the ESPYs. It's like, okay, you guys are these phenomenal athletes, incredible athletes. You're all amazing players. And you got to take a joke. Show me that you're a regular person, a regular guy that can, you know, we can laugh about this together. And right. I don't know, you know, I don't know moving forward if they're going to go that route after what just happened, because there seems to be so much backlash about it. Bomani Jones and even Dan Le Batard, you know, is trying to say that he went too far in a few things, but that's what he does. That's who he is. If you didn't want him, don't get him. And I'm glad that he stuck to who he was and he didn't change for anybody. He's like, yeah, I'm going to do these jokes. And everybody saw the jokes before he did it. It's not like, you know, he came out with something that nobody knew he was going to say or nobody was going to do. Mm-hmm. And we laugh about it and we move on. And this is we're fucking giving awards out for athletes, for God's sake. Like, we can laugh about some of this stuff.
Right. You're telling me that nobody laughed at the Dallas Cowboys joke? Really? Nobody laughed at the Dallas Cowboy joke?
I thought they were all funny. I didn't hear anything and I was like, ooh. Or I didn't like just shake my head like I do when I watch Family Guy sometimes. Like, I really was like, I've seen him before. Like, I've seen his comedy before. He wasn't a stranger to me. I like watching his clips on YouTube. I've watched his stand-up special. He seems like a down to earth guy. I would pay to go see him if I could. His tour is, I think, in the West and the Midwest mm-hmm. right now, so I missed my shot. He's already crossed the borderline there, but I liked it. I thought it was great. I'm in the camp of you gotta laugh.
The Caitlin Clark joke, I think, was a little much though. Most, not because of like the Waffle House thing, but the implication that the WNBA was full of black dudes, like, that's like, you know, you're now just kind of like yelling into the void, and you're like trying to dog whistle certain stereotypes. Like, certain pieces are funny, certain ones go too far. But to your point, this was approved by ESPN.
Somebody gave the green light to this. It wasn't like, you know, everybody let him do whatever he wanted. And no, and I'm sure ESPN had their writers. They all came together and wrote this. He's done stuff for Saturday Night Live. He's been he's a funny guy. And let's just laugh about it and let's move on, you know?
Step outside of your safe area and make a statement without saying much with FCK Clout Lifestyle Apparel. Embrace the colorful chaos and stay emotionally regulated in their graphic tees, hoodies, snapbacks, accessories, and more. Go to fckclout.com today and check out current season and past season merchandise for men and women. Get it while you can. That's fckclout.com. Check them out today. fckclout.com.
What was even more comical was the MLB All-Star Game, which headed to extra innings. And this year, the rules called for a swing-off. Each side got to send their best hitter to the plate, and both dugouts watched in anticipation of home runs that would decide the fate of their team. Did you like it? Did you hate it? Or did you wonder where Ohtani and Judge were?
Kyle Stowers, okay. Pete didn't get to hit. He was there. Like, he was ready to go. You had Jonathan Aranda. Apparently, these were all picked ahead of time by Aaron Boone. So, yeah, like, that's all you, like, Aaron Boone, ladies and gentlemen, Boone.
I'm not used to doing this stuff. Usually Brian does this for me.
I texted Fishman and he didn't get back to me. So, Mr. Torrey, what do I do? Yeah. Aaron Judge left. Cal Raleigh left. What am I going to do?
Where is Aaron Judge going? Like, where are you gotta be, man? Home.
He's got a day and a half off. No, we'll get to Tyler Glass.
They had to be back in Atlanta for the fucking series with the Braves in 2 days.
He was hungry. He went to the Waffle House. Maybe he went to the Waffle House. Ohtani had a plan to catch. Or he was placing bets. One or the other. So I got Kyle Schwarber in the over. Yeah. Let's go. As far as the swing off concept, it's dumb. It's terrible. But it's for an exhibition. Fine.
I was surprised that Kirchin and Olney all said they loved it. It really blew my mind that they said they loved it. They said it was fine for an All-Star game, but don't you ever do that shit in a regular season game.
I agree.
And I'm of the mind where I hope I never have to see an All-Star game go to extra innings again.
Yeah.
That's where I am.
Would you prefer the swing off or the ghost runner at second base? If given the choice.
How about the game just ends? I'd be fine if it ended in a tie. I wouldn't give a shit. Like, what am I gonna... What do I fucking care? I just sat here for 3 hours. I had to pay a shit ton of money to see this game, the Derby, and all the other bullshit.
Right.
I'm good. I don't need to see who wins this. It doesn't mean anything. It's an exhibition. I would be fine with walking out being like it was a tie. Play 10 innings and whatever. I don't care. I need to see a swing-off. Fuck, I care about a swing-off board. It seemed like it was so staged. It's so interesting that this was, because I believe this was the first year that this was in play.
Yes.
And this is how interesting that I think the National League was up by 6 and the American League came back and tied it. And then all of a sudden, we're in this swing off thing. It's like
Edwin Diaz, you're welcome.
It just seems so staged. And I was like, I don't need this. I don't need to see this shit. Like, I don't care. Like, I would have left. Watch this garbage. What is this?
So here's what I'm thinking. The ESPN executives went to Dave Roberts and said, put in Edwin Diaz. We want this to go to a swing off. Put in Edwin Diaz.
Put him in.
Let's go. I want the right.
We know what's going to happen. Put him in.
and then the first game back, he promptly blows the save. Like, thanks a lot, dude.
I thought it was awful. I thought it was stupid. Like, I didn't really care if it goes. First of all, the idea that this thing goes into extra innings as much as it does is really bizarre. I mean, would you be surprised if in the next 10 years it goes to extra innings 3 or 4 times? Wouldn't that be very surprising?
That would be interesting.
Because I don't see how this happens. How does this happen? You guys are the best players on the planet right now, and you're tying each other? It just so happens that the American League and the National League are just as good as one another? Like, what are we talking about right now?
Which, when we look at the play during the season, we know that's bullshit.
Right.
We know that's bullshit.
Right. I think more of the problem is that you start off the game with your best players, and then slowly but surely you're putting in guys that, you know, they got voted in, they're a replacement. So maybe towards the end, you're not firing all in all cylinders because you've got guys that, you know, aren't, maybe shouldn't be there. So maybe it's a, why don't you save Freddie Freeman and Ohtani for the middle of the game? I don't know. But I just, or just tell your pitcher, hey, man, it's the ninth inning or the eighth inning. It's tied. Just throw fucking fastballs. Just throw fastballs. We want to get out of here. Just throw fastballs. Like, what's the difference?
Right.
What's the difference? What, you had Stowers against, what's his name, from the Nationals? Like, how do you think that was going to end?
Right.
What's the difference?
You didn't put up the best of the best. Like, that's the thing. It would have been interesting. But here's my fear. Like, we're talking about this, it better never see the light during the regular season. But here's the problem. And here's why I think it will. The NHL. How do regular season games end?
Shootout.
They go to the shootout. You get 5 minutes of 3-on-3, and then you go to a shootout. So maybe this is going to be like a hybrid style situation where you're going to get to like the 12th inning, and if you don't get it by the 12th inning, then we go to a swing off. I'm wondering if that's going to be the case. And
I'm
and
sick
I
of
fear
the ghost
for
runner.
That.
I'm sick of the ghost runner.
You're preaching to the choir.
What the fuck are we doing? Like, what are we doing? Like, how is that an advantage? I mean, how, not that how is that an advantage. How is that fair? How's that fair to the home team? Or how's that fair to the away team? Like, I just think it's garbage. Imagine if they actually played baseball and every team just bunted the motherfucker over to third, right?
Nobody does that.
No. How is it that possible? We're starting a runner at second and nobody bunts them over to third. Nobody. I've watched so many games go into extra innings. I haven't seen one team bunt the guy over to third. Are you kidding me?
In some cases, they haven't needed to. I mean, look at Philly's Red Sox, and we'll get to them when we get to alleged superstar. Wild pitch. So walk, wild pitch, intentional walk, catcher's interference. A new way to lose.
Or the other thing is like if you're a really savvy team, just fucking walk the first hitter, and now we can turn a double play.
Yeah.
Like where's? I think it's stupid. I do. Unlike you though, I do like the baseball All-Star game because I do feel that they play. I don't think anybody there is, you know, taking a day off. I think when you are in, you're trying to hit home runs. You're trying to strike people out. You're trying to get on base. You're trying to feel. You're trying to showcase your talent on the diamond. Unlike football and basketball, where basketball is just awful. And I would think that hockey, I think, has gotten bad, but it used to be good. I think they just take it a little bit more easy on each other now. But, you know, I like it. I don't like this, though. This is garbage.
No, it's complete garbage.
Tarek Skubal started the All-Star game for the American League. He is a leading candidate for the Cy Young Award, and his team, the Detroit Tigers, are the first team to 60 wins this year. The Tigers have tried to offer him a new contract, but Skubal's camp calls the offer not competitive. I think he's a Boris client. Some say he's looking for 10 years, sure, $400 million. Will someone give him that contract, or will he play, or who will he pay for in 2026?
So he's under control through 2026. So you're looking at, for the 2027 season, 10 years of $400 million. Come on now.
I believe he'll be 31.
Yeah. So 51-34, 3.15 ERA. 812 strikeouts and 699 innings pitched for his career. Currently 10-3, 2.19 ERA. Like, excellent. Excellent, excellent, excellent. Now, who is going to have that kind of money to pony up? First one's always the Dodgers, right? The first one is always, how can we get creative with this and pay him $500 million without currently affecting our team? You always got to be concerned with them. If the Padres significantly shed payroll because they're like hemorrhaging money, they're dangling Dylan Cease in trades again to reinforce their current roster.
Isn't he like 4-9?
Yeah, but he's expensive. Forget about Dorn because he's only high priced. So that's kind of where Dylan Cease is. I mean, the Mets are interested. The Yankees are interested. Like, the same people who were interested in Dylan Cease before he got traded are currently interested in Dylan Cease now. So if they manage to, like, they're going to shed Michael King. If they can shed Dylan Cease, if they can shed like a bunch of guys, maybe the Padres can get in on this. The Mets are always going to be a possibility as long as Steve Cohen owns the team. I would love for him to stay in Detroit. I would love for him to be the anchor of that rotation and be this generation's Justin Verlander, like Mr. Tiger. Yes, eventually he played for the Astros. Yes, he played for the Mets. He played for the Giants.
He's 1-9 right now.
Atrocious. Absolutely atrocious. Got thrown out the other day. That's fantastic.
Where the team beat today.
I'm going with the Atlanta Braves. Yeah.
Ding, 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 ding.
Ding, ding, ding. There we go. That gets me a ham sandwich. I would love for him to stay and keep the, not that Detroit is a small market, but Detroit is a classic market, and organizations like that, markets like that, need to keep their guys, like especially guys that are good, you know, like Pittsburgh. They need to keep Skeens. By any means necessary, they need to keep Skeens. Like Skubal, he needs to stay in Detroit.
You're delusional.
For those of you that think that he's going to end up in the Yankees, it's not happening. And here's why.
You're delusional if you think Skeens is staying in Pittsburgh and Skubal is staying
in
Pittsburgh.
I'm not saying that. I said that's what I would like to see. Are they? No. No, that's not how the economics
work. Why would you like to see it? Why do you care? What do you mean? You're like, why? Because he was drafted by them? because he came up with them? Like, why do you want to see Skinkle? Because that makes them, what, win once every time he pitches? Like, why do you want to see Skeen stay there?
Because I want traditional powers. I want traditional organizations to be good. I want them to be relevant. I want these teams to actually, like, I want to feel competitive.
Trout to stay in Anaheim? Did you want Trout to stay in Los Angeles?
I don't care where Mike Trout goes. I really don't give a shit where Mike Trout goes.
It just seems so arbitrary. Like, why do you... I don't see why it matters. Fuck, where he care? I don't care where he's... As long as he's not pitching against my team, that's what I don't want him to
do. He's not going to pitch for the Braves either. They can't afford
it. No, I don't want him to pitch against my team. I don't want him in my division. I don't want him to go to the Mets or go to, the Phillies. That would be a nightmare. Like, that's what I care about. I don't care where they play.
No, but I want... This is what I want. I want more competitive balance. And that more competitive balance means the best players are spread out. Because then what happens? It ends up being the Dodgers, ends up being the Yankees, ends up being the Mets. I'm a Met fan. I don't like that shit. I don't want a super team. And look at the Mets. You can't say they're a super team. They're not.
What are they, top three in payroll?
Yeah, and look at what the top three has done for them. Ugats.
Aren't they in like second place, first place? They're doing well.
With a ton of holes on that team. Still, money doesn't buy everything, clearly. So if there's a way for like Bobby Wood Jr., I would love for Bobby Wood Jr. to stay in Kansas City. And it looks like he's going to.
He will, because they paid him and they locked him up.
Right. So that's a good thing. It keeps Kansas City relevant. If Paul
Skeen... They're not relevant. They suck right now.
They were just in the playoffs last year with Bobby Witt.
And this year, after he got his fucking contract, after he got his money, where are they now?
So they're floating around 500. That division is ass. They could still make a run and win.
That division is ass.
That division is ass, dude. It's cheeks. It's absolute cheeks.
Like, the best team in the league is in that division. They and then look at the rest of it. The playoffs.
Look at the rest of it. The worst team in the division is also the second worst team in the league. The White Sox drag everybody down, and everybody else is around 500. That's cheeks, my man. That's absolute cheaks. It's not as the National League West. Yes, you have the Colorado Rockies, but then you have three teams over 500, and you have the Diamondbacks who are like hovering. So, that's booty. That's it. That El Central's absolute booty.
Basura.
Basura. Complete basura. So, in order for these organizations, like Jose Ramirez with Cleveland, stay there. Be relevant. Keep your team afloat. That's fine. Now, where's he going to go? He's going to free agency.
But wait, before you go into where he's going, and he's good, but the whole thing is Pittsburgh cannot get better with Paul Skeens on their team. They get better by trading Paul Skeens and getting a ton of prospects that will eventually play. But he's a pitcher. He only plays once or twice a fucking week. The same thing with, well, Skubal's different because Detroit's good, so they're okay. I would still trade him for value. But if you're not playing well, if you're not winning, you can't just hold on to guys and say, all right, well, hope it gets better. Same thing with the Nationals. The Nationals had Soto. They traded him for a bevy of players.
Those Has it gotten better?
They're going to be good. I think Woods is good. I think their players are good. I think the two of the three guys are good.
The only reason they're not in last place is because the Atlanta Braves. So actually, no, they are in last place. Wait a minute. They are. So they're all of these good, guys though. All these prospects that you got for Juan Soto have done diddly dick for your team.
They would be in last place if they had Soto. But those guys are good. I think that the Nationals are going to be okay. But go ahead. Tell us where you think he's going to go.
Your team. Look at what they've invested in. If you invest in your team, look at what the Tigers have done. Right? They've brought in actual talent to go with the guys that they've drafted.
Tigers have a good coach.
The players were there. The system was there before A.J. Hinch got there.
But, right, the players were there and they weren't doing as well as they are now. He is a good coach, and he has them playing very well. Riley Green is playing out of his mind. Carpenter is playing out of his mind. The rotting carcass of Javi Baez
was an all-star.
It was an all-star. They went and got Gleyber Torres and revitalized his career. Gleyber Torres was a throwaway. He couldn't get a job. So I understand there's a lot more at play than just the player. There's other things that have to go with it. And the fucking American League sucks right now. I don't care what anybody says. American League is trash. Go ahead. Where will he play?
He will end up with the Dodgers. He will end up... He says 10 years, $40 million a year is a joke. So you're probably looking at... He's probably going to want, what, $550? Okay. So he's going. Is that what he's going to want? Is that what it's going to take? Is it going to take $600? Are we going to... And here's the bottom. This is the reason why baseball will get locked out. This is why the players will get locked out. Enough said. This is absurd. It's obscene. Nobody's worth this. There was one guy who was actually worth the money, and it's because he could pitch and he could hit. That's the reason why he got the fucking contract that he got. Juan Soto is overrated for what he's making. Aaron Judge is overrated for what he's making. Bobby Witt is overrated for what he's making. They are making way too much goddamn money. And guess what? The owners are going to lock him out, and we will be playing. The two of us will be playing.
Well, hold on. Well, maybe what you do is you take a page out of the Padres book and you fucking lock up your homegrown talent early. Like what they did with their boy Tatis Jr. Because, come on, think about it. He's underpaid at this point, don't you think? For his talent level?
He's on par for where he's going to be. But here's the thing. The Padres, because they decided to go for it and because they decided to lock him up, they're now hemorrhaging money and need to get rid of some of these guys.
I'm just saying that if you have a player like Paul Skeens or you have a player like Aaron Judge, save yourself the time and lock them up to the long contract when they're 24, 25 instead of
it extends your window. 28
and 29.
Look at what the Rays did with Evan Longoria.
Same thing with like Ron Hart. Harper. Same thing with Bryce Harper. Lock him up. Fuck it. Give him his 10-year deal for $300 million because that's a bargain at this point with him. I mean, come on.
Compared to where the contracts have gone.
Right. So, I mean, okay, so you think he's going to go to the Dodgers. So my whole thing is he's definitely not going to Detroit because they're not going to pay him that much money. And I don't blame them. What I think Detroit should do, especially if they win the World Series this year, fucking trade that motherfucker. Trade him. Because you're going to get people like the Yankees or the Dodgers will trade you the sun and the moon and the stars for the one-year rental, and they'll think, oh, we'll be able to extend them when the year is over. Just like the Yankees did with Juan Soto.
And that's why the Yankees are out.
Probably.
They're not going to trade Spencer Jones. They're not going to trade Lombard.
And I don't understand why they don't trade Spencer Jones. I don't know what you're holding.
Ryan Cashman's a fucking prospect hugger.
Right, right. Like, you're ruining this kid's career. He's ready. He's batting, like, over 400 in the minors.
Got to get those ABs for Trent Grisham, baby.
What are you doing here? Like, then trade Trent Grisham. Like, what are you doing? Bring him up. Like, this is so stupid. But, I agree with you. I do think the Yankees are in play, especially if they get killed again in the World Series. I would think it's the Yankees, it's the Dodgers, it's the Cubs, it's the Giants, and it's the meet the Mets. Meet the Mets. Everybody wants to meet them. They're definitely in on that shit because they would love.
Here's the
they
thing.
Would love to have Tarik Skubal play.
Stearns doesn't spend on guys over 30. That's the thing. It's just not what he does. He'll get in some like lower level stuff and turn them into something else with this pitching lab or whatever this nonsense is.
That's fine, but if the Mets were to lose in the first round of the playoffs this year, that's going to be a big slap in the face. It's going to not show any progress, and it's going to force your boy Cohen to go spend. That's just my opinion. Unless he's going to go trade for Zach Gallen now, which I don't think they're going to do. You're going to go get the best pitcher on the market so that you have Skubal, you have Senga, and now it's like, all right, let's go. Who's beating us now? No one's beating us in a 7-game series with this lineup. And he'd be right. Would you agree that if you had Skubal, there's nobody beating the Mets in a 7-game series?
That's not. I completely disagree.
you think they would still get beat in a seven games?
I think that the Mets can be had. The Mets, as currently constituted, regardless of Senga, Senga's on a pitch count. He's on an innings limit. Manaea is on an innings limit. He's on a pitch count. Montas
wins. He just won. He wins. Yeah. He's won. He wins more than any of them.
Two. Great. And now, and I can't afford to have him be Montas in the playoffs. Like, that's the problem.
He's
the
best pitcher right now.
And that's a problem, isn't it? Peterson had struggled coming out of the break. I would argue Peterson is the best pitcher right now.
I think Senga, I like him. I like him a lot. You think he's really good?
You know, Peterson has potential. They do have potential. But that's the thing. Senga can be had. We've seen it. Manaea can be had. We've seen it. Montas can be had. We've seen it. Peterson can be had. If they have a bad night, forget it. Skubal, prior to this run, he was just okay. And then he took off. He's a stud. He's an absolute stud. Is David Stearns willing to invest that kind of money in a soon-to-be 31-year-old guy? The answer is no. The answer is no. Based on his track record, regardless of position, the answer is no. That's not what he does.
So who's the pitcher? Who's the pitcher you're going to go get? If you just told me your whole starting lineup can be had. So who's the starting pitcher that you're going to go get that's going to make it so that you can win a seven-game series?
This year? I don't think there's anybody on the market.
Not this year.
I'm talking about this year.
Oh, no. I don't think they're going to trade for him this year. I just think that the Mets will be in play after next season, especially if they have 2 years where they fail to make the World Series and they're spending all this fucking money. And if it comes down to pitching, they're going to go get the best pitcher on the market, and he's going to be the best pitcher on the market. Look at what the Yankees did getting Max Fried. That was huge for them. And a year where Cole went down, that's huge for them.
Right. And now Fried has a little bit of a blister problem. He's had a very solid season. But here's the thing. You're not going to pay for older. Like, that's where we're kind of disagreeing here. There's really no young, great talent outside of a guy like Skeens, right? But Pittsburgh, as already said, they're not trading. Now,
that's stupid.
2 years from now,
and that's why you will continue to suffer.
But 2 years from now, that story may change, right? 2 years from now, it might just be, we'll listen on everybody. We'll listen on O'Neill Cruz. We'll listen on Henry Davis. We'll listen on, we'll listen on Skeens. We'll listen on anybody. Because we are that inept at our job. And we fumbled this so fucking badly. And that's the story of the Pittsburgh Pirates. And that's where the Tigers differ from them. They didn't fumble this. They got Kerry Carpenter. Torkelson seems to be doing something. He's kind of showing something.
Riley Green.
Absolutely.
Riley Green is the key to that team. He is a monster. And he's a damn good fielder and a damn good hitter. And he's giving everybody a problem.
But money talks. Money absolutely talks. And when the CBA ends, we will see. We will absolutely see what's going to happen. Because I'm sure it's not going to be it's not going to be friendly between Mr. Manfred and Mr. Clark. That's for damn sure.
Avoid messy accidents. Get better stopping power with your brake pads. Callahan brake pads. You never know when you'll be driving in the road and there will be a truck tire that you need to avoid and save your family. Callahan Auto. You really care about what's under your hood.
But speaking of not very friendly, the president on social media asked/demanded that the Guardians and Commanders go back to their original Native American names, so Cleveland Indians and Washington Redskins, respectively. The president went as far as to say he will block the Commies' new stadium in Washington if they do not change their name back to the Redskins. So what are your thoughts on this?
Yeah, I mean, he's the king. He's the emperor. So that's what he wants to do. I mean, we're past it at this point. I just think if the Washington football team wants to go back to it, go back to it. I actually kind of like the commie gear. I like calling them the commies. I think it's funny.
It's the irony.
Yeah. Yeah.
Love it.
You know, the Cleveland Indians thing kind of came out of nowhere. I missed that logo. I missed that uniform. I would love for them to go back to what they were. The Guardians just sounds like a minor league team. The logo is shit. Like, it just doesn't fit Cleveland, you know? It just, I don't know. It just, I don't like it at all. And you can count on, like, the Blackhawks and the Blackhawks and the Chiefs never doing that. There's actually a fight going on in Massapequa right now about their team. Their high school team is the Chiefs, and they're trying to make them change their team. Just like, and Donald Trump has stepped into that as well. So my whole thing is, he can say whatever he wants, but I would prefer that the teams do it because they want to do it, not because the president of the United States is talking shit about it.
So what he is doing is called extortion. It's absolutely extortion. Like, if you don't give me what I want, I will withhold something from you. That is the very definition of extortion. So you call it what it is. Josh Harris doesn't want to change the name. Not that he has some great affinity for the Redskins or the Commies, but it's past him. It's beyond him. Like, this is where we are. We have moved forward as a society. The Cleveland Indians, I mean, you and I both have an affinity for the movie Major League. The Cleveland Indians are the Cleveland Indians, right? It's like, it's stuff of lore. But I get it. You know, the term Indian is inaccurate. It's offensive to indigenous people. If they decide that they don't want it, or if they decide that it's offensive to them, I can't tell them that they can't be offended, right? I can't. Like, Bomani Jones came out and said, okay, you're going to play for the, you know, the Caucasians. And he had, like, his whole line of shirts for Caucasians. Like, what are, you know, like, that's another level of kind of offense. And if somebody, you know, if somebody gets annoyed or offended by that, like, it is what it is. Two wrongs don't make a right here. Two wrongs absolutely don't make a right here. If Native American people don't want it, and if the owner doesn't really care, right, the owner doesn't want it either, move on. It's a dead issue. It's a moot point. It's a distraction from bigger things that are going on. And frankly, it's pointless. It's absolutely pointless. If they want to be the Guardians, if they want to be the Commanders, if they want to change the name of the Cleveland Spiders, if they want to honor the heritage of Cleveland sports, the Cleveland Spiders, like, it's right there for you. But there's no reason to go back to a name that was rooted in bigotry, other than it's a dog whistle to a certain political base. And it speaks to a bygone era of tradition. Tradition to you is offensive to other people. I hope you realize that. Like, just because you don't find it offensive, it's like Shane Gillis's comedy. Just because you don't find it offensive doesn't mean somebody else doesn't. So you have to recognize that. You have to understand that. And if you don't understand that, then I don't know what to tell you. I just don't know what to tell you.
Yep. I think I'm with you on that. Just like, I don't understand. He has nothing better to do. He can get involved with something else. There's much other bigger things going on in the country than paying it. And he actually said that, like, in 2013, when I think somebody else, one of the other presidents, was talking about them changing their names. And he was like, yeah, is there more important things to do? Yeah, I think there are. So I think they should move on. He should move on, and just whatever.
100%. And we've actually, in Ossining, they've done that. And it's to the point where it's been a complete rebranding, and it's great. They were the Ossining Indians till forever. And then they became the Pride. And now I think they're the Ossining Lions, I think. But it's not that they've scrubbed their heritage from history. They acknowledge what they used to be, and they're moving forward. Now, you still have people who are calling for a bygone era. You still have people say, we're the Austining Indians. Right? They're not, though. They moved on. You need to move. You're stuck in high school. Like, look at Spelman. Look at our alma mater. They were the Pilots until forever. Then they became the Falcons. And then they went back to the Pilots. Who gave a shit? Nobody.
I kind of like the Falcons. That's all right.
For all you grill masters, green thumbers, DIY aficionados, and home repair heroes in the Richmond, Virginia area, if you're looking for personal service quality products and a convenient shopping experience, then look no farther than Thacker Ace Hardware in Colonial Heights. Owner Don Rackley and his team of local experts have everything you need to tackle every project around the house. I'm talking Benjamin Moore paint, Milwaukee and Craftsman power tools, plumbing, electric, hardware, the works. For you green thumbers, their nursery department is top notch, and I wouldn't be me if I didn't mention the grills. They have Weber, Blackstone, Big Green Egg, Traeger. I want one of everything. Give them a call today at 804-766-4223 and see how they can assist you. Or swing by 27 Dunlop Village in Colonial Heights. That's Thacker Ace Hardware, 804-766-4223, or swing by 27 Dunlop Village in Colonial Heights. Thacker Ace is the place with the helpful hardware folks.
A few weeks ago, we questioned where 37-year-old Dame Lillard will play in 2 years. And now we know. The 36-year-old will go back to Portland, the team that traded him to Milwaukee despite the fact that he asked to be traded to South Beach. Z, is this real life? I mean, am I really reading this right? And it looks like the Milwaukee Bucks are going to be paying him $22 million per year for the next 5 years. And then the Blazers are going to be paying him $41 million over the next 3 years. My man's making some serious dough, and we don't even know if he could play.
Chauncey Billups said he is the most... He is the highest paid assistant coach in the league next year. So, because they are going to use whatever, you know, Dame Lillard has between the ears, whatever basketball savvy and experience he has to bring along this young Blazers team. I get that. I get that. He has an affinity for Portland. He wanted to spend his whole career there until he didn't. And it's like we were asking where he would end up, and like it's interesting that this is the team that this is what he chose to go to, a rebuild project where he will get to be the guy at age 37, right? And we'll see what he still brings to the table coming off the Achilles injury. And you're going to be less explosive, you're not going to be as fast, you're not going to be able to shoot as well. And, you know, it's not a great situation. It's a question of how well he can stay motivated, right? As a 37-year-old who is going to play on a team that's not very good, like they will test his resolve in that regard. It's not like Chris Paul signing on for his latest season with the Clippers, you know? The Clippers are well within contention here. It's not like Marcus Smart going to the Lakers. The Lakers are in contention. Dame Lillard willingly chose to go to a team that is promising, but has no guarantee or has no real pathway upward for the next few years. So he's still going to probably get his because prolific scorers get theirs. Like, that's what it's going to be. But it's kind of interesting to see, and it makes you kind of armchair quarterback that if you waited just a little bit longer and waited maybe at least till midseason, you could have gotten a better offer. You were getting paid $22.5 million to stay home. I don't know why you needed this extra $14 million from the Blazers. There had to be something better coming. There had to be. Had to be.
You're in a different camp than I am. I'm just surprised at this. Like, this was the guy that they weren't able to win with when they had like LaMarcus Aldridge there, and he was there for the best years of his life and they couldn't win. Then all of a sudden he wants to be traded. He asks them to trade him to South Beach. They need more value for him. They send him to the Bucks, which is the opposite of South Beach, where he plays for 2 years and he tears his Achilles last year. And their plan is to go. Then the Bucks cut him, and then they're going to pay him $22 million over the next 5 years. And your plan is to go get that same player, bring him to your team, where he didn't win in the best years of his life, but he's gonna win now. He's gonna play well now, and we're gonna give him $41 million. Like, what? What are we talking about right now? I don't get it. I don't get it. I don't get why anybody would play him. Why would you pay a guy that can't play? He can't play.
The only thing, and this is where it doesn't make sense. You're paying him to rehab. You are. The thing is that he could rehab on his own at $22.5 million. And then you could kind of try him out and then see if he's got something.
And then you pay him the vet minimum. Like, I'm not paying him. He's never won. He can't win. He's not a winner. He may be part of the 75th anniversary team.
Take a drink.
But he's not a winner. Why would anybody pay him? I have a better chance of going and getting what's the kid who played for Duke, who's Dick Grayson. I've got a better chance of giving Grayson all that money and having him play for me than going to get Dame Lillard. Like, he just played with Giannis and they couldn't do shit in 2 years. They actually played worse the second year. But that's our plan. That's our big move. That's who we're going to go get for 41. Why didn't you take the $41 million and try to get Miles Turner? Like, what? I don't get it. Doesn't make any sense to me. First of all, I don't know why anybody would sign him while he's hurt. He could totally just not ever play basketball again. What motivation does he have to play basketball again if he's getting $22 million a year for the next 5 years from a team he doesn't even play for? Then he's getting another team that's going to be giving him they're giving him $41 million over the next 3 years, whether he plays or not. I have no incentive to play. What is my incentive to play?
And, well, your incentive to play would
get trashed by every team that plays against us, because who am I playing with?
Right. That's the thing. That's the signing. It's a sentimental signing. It's the only thing that's there, because it's certainly not competitive. Right? It's absolutely not competitive with the roster that Portland has put together. And the timing of doing it this year as opposed to next year is also questioned. You know, it's also called into question. Because, I mean, unless you're using him as like a trade exception at some point, you know, you're like, this guy can't really go. So we're just going to sign him to use him as a trade exception. Like, that's, you know, 14 mil is 14 mil. But, you know, it feels like a sentimental, like, swan song. I get it. Like, from that standpoint, you know, go back to the original team, the draft you, and you want to go out on your terms. You don't want to go out on a torn Achilles, all that stuff. But it doesn't
line
up.
But didn't all that sentimental shit go out the window when this motherfucker asked to be traded? And on his side, wasn't he angry that he didn't get sent to the team he wanted to go to? Like, aren't these two guys, like, beefing?
At this point, I mean, it's clearly, it's not like he won anything. So, and is it even the same order? Is it the same front office that traded him? I don't even know, to be perfectly honest with you, because Portland's bad. Let's be real here. Portland is a poorly run organization. They have not been good in years, and they will continue to not be good. They have not been good for a while. So, and he had a chance to go sign with Miami, right? And they still didn't want him. So that's kind of it right there. But it's a weird situation. It doesn't make sense for him to sign on this year. He's not coming back from an Achilles tear in less than a year. I don't care how much rehab you do. I don't care what kind of experimental therapies you're getting done. You're not coming back in less than a year from an Achilles tear. And if you do, you're going to tear this, that one, and the other one. So this year's a wash. You're getting paid to rehab. You're getting paid not to play for the Bucks, and you're getting paid to rehab. So take that money to the bank, Mr. Lillard. And hopefully, the Blazers can recoup something on this next year. Otherwise, it's going to look pretty, pretty foolish.
You can't help but smile when you see a balloon. PopStarsBalloons.com offers spectacular balloon decor for all of life's events, specializing in custom balloon creations and installations for private events, corporate and school functions, photo shoots, brand events, and fundraisers. Led by certified balloon artists, the Popstars Balloon team shape balloons into custom works of art. Popstar Balloons provides full concept balloon design, build and installation services, as well as pre-assembled decor pieces available for pickup or delivery. Popstar Balloons is a woman-owned, small family business focused on providing professional balloon services using only high-quality, 100% biodegradable natural latex balloons made in the U.S. and Italy. They consistently prioritize the safest use and handling of balloons in a sustainable and responsible manner. Popstars Balloons is located in Westchester County, New York, but likes to party at events throughout New York City, Connecticut, Long Island, and New Jersey. Popstars Balloons can also accommodate balloon decor services for destination events. No event too big, no event too small, and their custom personalization service is the perfect touch. They also offer a full line of event decor options like backdrop, prop rentals, tablescapes, dessert table setups, custom signs, and they always deliver with a smile. Whether you're looking for gift balloons, classic decor, or large-scale design for a big impact, Popstars Balloons will create the perfect decor for your theme, vibe, and space. So if you have an idea in mind or need inspiration, Popstars Balloons decor will be the cutting edge and spectacular. Visit PopStarBalloons.com to pop your next event.
It's the In Route, where friends of the show get a special segment with us. Want to be part of the action? Want to be the newest member of the In Crowd? Well, you know what to do. Hit us up, faderoutemail@gmail.com, or slide in our DMs on IG at faderoutpodcast, or drop us a line on X at faderoutdnz, and you could be next.
Joining us on the In Route today, very special day, we have majority owner of USL League One's Westchester SC and co-founder of Merida Capital Holdings, Mitch Barukowicz. Thanks for coming on.
Mitch.
Thanks for having me, guys.
All right, we'll start you off with this. What was your soccer journey like prior to founding Westchester SC, and what experience do you have with the game?
Well, the irony is it wasn't quite a journey as much as, I mean, I've always loved soccer, and I could break out the pictures of me like at NYCFC games or at the 2014 World Cup in Brazil. But in reality, I mean, I played as a youth in Long Island, but it was such a different world. It was, I mean, the whole weekends were going to a travel game, and then, you know, my parents splitting, there were three of us. So like, splitting the difference, kind of playing zone defense and getting us all over Long Island. And so I spent a lot of time sweaty in a uniform at someone else's game, right? Like my brother or sisters. But, you know, the weekends were just filled with joy. Like you get to run around and, you know, bang into some people, which was good for the nervous energy. And I played in high school, was recruited to play, I think, like something like 300 schools. And unfortunately was playing in a men's league on a field in Northport, which is a pretty big town, a big soccer town in Long Island. I'm from Stony Brook originally. And
Seawolves.
Yeah, right, right. And well, that's Stony Brook, right. They have a good soccer team now too. But me and a goalie came together at the wrong time. And similar to like the Donnarumma play in the Club World Cup, I don't know if you saw the broken ankle. I forgot whose ankle was. Now I'm totally blanking.
Musiala,
right. So similar to that, I was trying to like chip a goalie. You know, in your head, like someone sends me in a diagonal ball, I'm running and I'm like, oh, I'm going to like lift the ball over the goalie and I'm going to run this into the net and I'm going to do some funny like Ronaldinho thing where you head it when it's like an inch off the ground. You know, it's a summer league game, like who cares? And I guess all that thought process slowed me down because me and the goalie got there at the same time. There was no lift and it was like just big thud in the ground and my foot never really was the same ever since. So there goes the soccer career. But I did play tennis in college, so I rescued my athletic, regimen.
Wow, that's glad my career didn't end like that. But yeah, that stinks. But yeah. You know what was your inspiration to found Westchester SC? What was the defining moment where you said to yourself, "You know what, I'm gonna do this, and I can do this"?
Yeah, you know, there's not like one moment. You know, I've answered this question, and I'm sure it's very unsatisfying when you're looking like for that light bulb eureka moment. I think it was more obviously seeing the opportunity. Someone had sent us a deck, you know, my partner Danny Decker sent a deck that like was called 212 FC, which was about, you know, bringing soccer to Westchester, but you know, USL, but there was really nothing there other than this framework. But before that, I'd really looked into bringing a professional sports team in some way, maybe a padel team, like something exciting that would get some cachet in Westchester where people love paddle or love tennis. But what really, for me, it was looking around Westchester on the field with my kids, right? Coaching them in soccer, and every week realizing how much time Westchester parents devote to their kids' love of soccer, right? And I remember my son when he was like six, my older son, Braden, who works on the team, when I took him out off, like I subbed him out of like a 3-on-3, like, you know, kindergarten game. And he like punched me on the way off the field because some other dad goes, did your son just punch you as he was leaving the field? I go, yeah. He goes, man, I wish my kid loved soccer that much. Wow. You know, it was like, because he didn't want to get subbed out of this 3-on-3 where everyone plays like equal amounts. And, you know, just those experiences kind of conditioned me to everyone in Westchester in some way, shape or form touches soccer, whether their kids play it or, you know, and just knowing that this was such a fertile landscape of that, and that I've really always wanted to do something bigger. Like, I love Westchester, right? And it's always like, whoa, I always thought it was upstate when I lived in Long Island, you know, growing up as a kid. And then it's like, it's 20 miles north of, you know, Midtown Manhattan. So maybe it's not quite upstate. And just knowing, and people asking, like, what is Westchester known for? And it's like, oh, it's a beautiful place to live. And so having something that could unify the sports energy, you know, we all go to MetLife to watch the Jets or Giants and Yankee Stadium or City Field or UBS. I'm an Islander fan, which is terrible. You know, no one has season tickets in Westchester anymore because you can't get there before like the puck drops at 7 o'clock.
Yeah.
So just those experiences were like, it's so difficult. And I think that dissuades people from going to as much professional sports as they love here. This is like a sports crazy place, but it's really a soccer crazy place, which is why our tagline is Soccer County. So there was never like a moment. You know, Damien, it was more like, hey, you know, this is a good idea.
Yeah.
And good ideas that don't have like red flags and red, you know, launching as quick as we did might be the biggest thing that that's really eureka. Like, hey, we can get on the field in 25 before the World Cup and take advantage of the Club World Cup and the momentum and all these other things. But really, there was never one moment. It was just like a conflagration of all these great ideas and being surrounded by people that love soccer. And people in Rye love, like, you know, everyone plays soccer. And there's a bunch of former women's, you know, high-level women's soccer players. Sarah Hess played on the national team. And I remember meeting her years ago at, like, a camp thing for our kids. So, like, I just knew that it could be interesting. But the truth is, I didn't realize it could. Now that I walk in the stadium, it brings tears to my eyes to think that, like, in a year what we've built and that people were out there cheering in the last game when we tied the game in the 65th minute and, you know, people were screaming. It's like, okay, we're getting somewhere. This is like the joy. You're watching a parent stare at their kid eating ice cream and it's going all over the place in 95 degrees and you're like, there's got to be some joy here that we're creating. This is amazing.
Yeah, it's actually very impressive. And you're right, because in Rye, they're very passionate. I mean, the Harrison-Rye rivalry is just like, it's
I wish I could get that many people to come to one of our games.
Right?
There's like 12,000 people a gate.
It's unbelievable. Football. You know, my cousin played for Harrison, and that's what he always tells me, beat Rye. It's like, wow, okay.
I mean, it's called one thing, right? You see a shirt in Westchester that says the game on it, you know it's Rye Harrison. Yeah. And that's what informed me. It's like, you see, I remember the first time when I first moved to Rye, like there was a random, you know, October Saturday, I'm going for my run and I'm like, why are there tents set up and cops and people drinking at like 7:45 in the morning? Like,
why are there people in the water?
Yeah, that's after the game, right? But I was like, what is going on that there's like Georgia, Florida has moved to like the Northeast? And then someone's like, oh no, it's the game. And yeah. I just moved, like we just moved in the summer. So like, it didn't occur to me and my kids were young. So I was like, what is the game? Like, I don't even know what you're talking about. And then the people jump in the river and there's like a fist fight because you jump in our river or we jump in your river.
Oh yeah, big time.
And it's like, but then we won it for like 20 years straight and it got a little, but now it's good again.
Yeah.
But you know, I have to throw a little shade of Harrison over there.
No, go for it. I love it.
Come to our soccer games. I'll make it up to you.
Okay? No, I love it. It's great. Yeah. But you have an impressive list of minority owners, including USMNT midfielder Tyler Adams and New York Jets quarterback Tyrod Taylor. What does it mean to you to have these athletes, you know, invest in your vision?
Yeah. Well, Tyrod and I go back a bunch of years. We've done some business together before. And he's just such a high character individual he's a guy that doesn't matter if he played for weeks or for months, he steps on the field and it's just like, you know, you're getting a gritty, intentional leadership type performance. And, you know, he's had some unluck with injury. Remember the Chargers where he hurts his shoulder and, you know, they give him the shot in the wrong place but he's always led with like integrity and character. He loves soccer. He has this fashion brand, Diazzo, so he loves Italy. Milan Fashion Week, like don't even get him started on Fashion Week in Paris and Milan. Like he loves that stuff. So for him, soccer and, you know, the chance to like play around with the ethos of a different sport was really exciting to him. And, you know, and he has a foundation in Virginia where if we ever play close by, like we'd love to do something. You know, Tyler's a totally different story. He is in this sport in America from Wappingers, like, he is one of the real royalty, you know, of current men's national team famedom. And his dad and him and his brothers, they own the Hudson Valley Hammers, which is a USL2 team. So the connectivity, which is everything to us, the ability to look at players, but also get deeper, like instead of trying to learn everything ourselves, using the knowledge of people who played and grown up. Tyler used to go, you know, an hour and a half to Red Bull's academy, because there was no Westchester. So being able to like bring something that actually informs his history and his challenges, like had there been a Westchester back then, the ability to play at every level, you know, okay, start in our academy at 10 or 11 years old, maybe get recognized by an MLS academy, maybe not. Maybe you play till you hit the USL pro team when you're 17 or 18. You know, for him, his journey was Red Bulls and then RB Leipzig. And obviously he's now a star at Bournemouth, but you know, him and Daryl, his dad, they are so knowledgeable about everything going on. In fact, our vetting of one of our players, Samori Powder, who played on their team, and so did Noah Powder, the brothers, who are from Maplewood, New Jersey, you know, Daryl, they were on his team. So the ability to like assess and get, you know, guidance from people who have lived it and have walked the walk and have played at the highest level of US, when we talk about things like promotion, relegation in the future of US soccer, I mean, who understands it better than Tyler, who's like living it while playing in Europe? And also obviously the ability to sell people to European teams and develop better talent, you know, that's the dream, right? If you look at like the 3 to 5 year plan, it's really developed this underpinning of practice facility and first team kind of like flagship facility, develop amazing youth talent from the whole region, which is a soccer crazy region. I mean, our tagline is welcome to soccer county, right? And it's funny because just at the game last Wednesday, there was someone up who lives in Bronxville that works for a bank in the city. They are coming up just to see what we're doing and maybe do like a sponsorship or something. And the first thing the guy said is like, look, Westchester is soccer county. And I'm like, we already do that on a commercial. You cannot Like, we tried to trademark it 6 months ago, buddy. So don't even think you're giving us ideas for that. And he's like, I know, I saw the video. But, like, it is. I mean, when you think of Westchester, you think of athletics in general, you know. And
oh, yeah, tons of talent.
And then you think of soccer.
Check out part two of our interview with Mitch Berukowitz later this week.
Your favorite podcast has its own merch line now. Go to the Fade Store with DNZ.com today and check out our releases in apparel, accessories, drinkware, and more. Ever wanted an Alleged Superstar t-shirt? We got those. You want some yoga pants? We got those too. And we're not done yet. We have a lot of exciting collaborations and new products on the way. But check out what we have now at the Fade Store with DNZ.com. That's the Fade Store with DNZ.com. Who's the best of the worst this week in sports? The Fade Store presents the Alleged Superstar of the Week Award.
All right, boys and girls, you know what time it is. It's time for the Alleged Superstar of the Week. You know how it goes. We put up a poll on our X account at FadeRouteDNZ and our Instagram poll at FadeRoutePodcast. And you vote, and you vote, and you vote, and you vote. And the winner of said vote gets a shout out in this year's show and takes home the coveted ass trophy. And do you know who took home the coveted ass trophy last week, D?
I don't.
That would be Robert Griffin III. Yeah, RG3, probably a good idea to lay off the race baiting. Just throwing that out there. The internet came for you last week. So, hopefully you learned your lesson. But that was last week. This is this week. Who are your nominees for Alleged Superstar of the Week, D?
First up, I've got Mike Trout, Angels DH these days. The Angels were swept by the Mets earlier this week with little help from Trout. I watched the games on Monday and Tuesday. On Monday, he struck out on three straight pitches with the tying run on base in the ninth inning from your boy Diaz.
Woo!
On Tuesday, he hit a garbage pop-up to the infield to end the game in the ninth inning with Stanek on the mound.
Woo!
He's currently batting .237 with 18 home runs and 45 RBI. Mike Trout, you are my Alleged Superstar of the Week.
Sounds like a Philly already.
Yes, he does. Number two, I've got Anthony Volpe.
Dude.
Last night made his league-leading 13th error of the season, leading to the Blue Jays scoring two unearned runs and tying the game. If you're hurt, tell us you're hurt. If you're not hurt, make the throw from fucking shortstop to first base. Anthony Volpe, you are my Alleged Superstar of the Week. And last but not least, the Atlanta Braves.
Ew.
They lost 9-3 today to the Giants and Justin Verlander, who was 0-8 entering the game with a 5 ERA. Not only did the Braves lose to him, but they couldn't even score 5 fucking runs. The Atlanta Braves, you are my Alleged Superstar of the Week. What do you got, Z?
That JV signing is proving to be really terrible. But, yeah.
I don't understand him. He's married to Kate Upton.
Yes.
They have a child.
Yes.
You'd rather go on the road with the Giants and be 0-8, 0-9, 0-10, 1-10, than be home with her? Are you kidding me?
Buster Posey is proving not to be good at his job.
I think he's got 2 World Series rings, I'm pretty sure. Like, you've got Cy Young Awards. You've got multiple Cy Young Awards. I'm pretty sure he's got, like, 2 or 3.
He's got an MVP as well.
Got an MVP? Like, what do we have left to do here? Go home and have a great time every day. Every day would be a great day.
Unfortunately, like, it's usually the athlete is usually the last person to know that he's done. So, Adames has proved to be a bad signing. Devers, up until recently, has been trash. And JV has been crap. So, Buster only is really batting 1,000 as GM. Buster Posey.
Yeah, I was about to say, yeah, Buster Posey.
So, wrong Buster. My apologies. You're busting all over this place. But, yeah, he's the last one to know. We've said this a million times. I got to start. I said it before. I'll say it again. the Boston Red Sox. Extra innings, ghost runner on second, walk, wild pitch, intentional walk to load the bases, catcher's interference, Red Sox lose, Red Sox lose. A new and innovative way to fuck up. And they were able to hold their own against Zach Wheeler. So it's not like they were doing it against the Scribino. Like, they were able to take the Phillies in a Zach Wheeler start to extra innings. And then that happens. Boston Red Sox, you are my alleged superstar of the week. Number two, I got to go with the MLS. MLS. So Inter Miami's Jordi Alba and Lionel Messi are out of the All-Star, which is actually going on tonight. They're not injured. They just don't want to go. I'm all right. So instead of Liga MX winning 8-4, it's now going to be like 8-0. So I get it. I understand. You know, old bodies, they need their Tylenol and they need to a good night's sleep. I get it. MLS rules indicate that if you just refuse to go to the All-Star game, you get suspended. You get suspended one game. And the Gutless Wonders said they will not discipline Messi or Alba, even though they are blatantly going against the rules. The bylaws that you put in place as a league. So, pretty gutless, right? Pretty gutless of Don Garber. Stand up to Messi, stand up to Jordi Alba. You don't run this league. People paid good money to go to Austin, Texas to see you in an All-Star game. Show up. Abide by the terms of your contract and abide by the will of the fans. It's for them. It's an exhibition. It's the least you can do. Go out there, wave your little hat, and then move on. I smile my little smile, I wave my little hat, now when do I get paid? In the words of Jimmy Duke. MLS, do what you need to do. You know what you have to do. Just pull the trigger and do it. You are my alleged superstar of the week. And number three is Tyler Glasnow. Oy vey. Complaining about the All-Star break. And how it's really not an All-Star break for the All-Stars because they don't get days off. They have the Home Run Derby, and then they have media, and then they have the game, and wah, 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 wah. Wah, wah, wah. Yes. Poor you. Poor you. You were named as one of the best of the best. And you have a few fewer days off than the mediocre players in the league. Sorry. The season's not too long. Yeah, you only get a day off. Boo friggin' who. This is literally part of your job. Fulfill the terms of your job. You got paid to be an All-Star, right? I believe you have an incentive in your contract, like most players do. So, tough shit. Plain and simple. Next year, don't play so well to where they name you in the All-Star game. Shocker. Tyler Glasnow, you complainer. You are my alleged superstar of the week. I think we said our piece. Go to our X account at FadeRouteDNZ. Go to our Instagram poll at FadeRoutePodcast and vote and vote and vote and vote. And for our nominees.
You're better than that. Just do better. Just do better.
This has been the Fade Route with DNZ. Thanks for tuning in tonight. Catch our podcast on Wednesday nights on Spotify, iTunes, iHeartRadio, or wherever you listen to your podcast. So until next time, stay fade, everyone.
Time for us to run the go route. We'll talk to you next week. We'll
Thanks for listening to this episode of our podcast. If you liked what you heard and you want to hear more, be sure to like and subscribe on your favorite podcast platform. Leave us a review, rate us 5 stars, turn on subscription notifications, and share on social media. Tell your friends and spread the word.